Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Gran and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Ya, Lucky, Stormy, Annette, Antoinette, and Geraldine, Doc Stovall, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBrille send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Glory be unto their name, for they train us to adhere to the teachings of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
Sister Jacqueline Taylor Adams over there, always giving us the responsibility as well as the pleasure of listening and learning with the people simultaneously. How you doing, big bro?
Man, I am that I am.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I overstand that, you know, in our quest to overthrow white supremacy, as we always say.
That's
indeed,
right.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we want to thank the listening crowd, those of you all out there in radio / internet land, for tuning in with us. We got another good show for us this evening for the people there, big bro.
Yeah, you know, man, we're going to keep continuing to do what we do, man, put out information that's pertinent in the struggle and liberation of our people, bro.
That is correct. And always quoting Brother Malcolm, you know, Brother Malcolm said we cannot fight on any one front but on all fronts. And
that's right.
There is a part of our people, you know, whom we have seemed to, I don't know if forgotten is the correct term, but, you know, maybe we should say we have kind of placed on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many issues, you know, when we deal with our communities that, you know, certain issues do get pushed to the back burner, so to say. And, you know, and that's definitely not anything that we as a community should be proud of. You know, it's enough of us that someone should be focused on something, you know. So between all of us, the 22 million descendants of political prisoners, you know, we should all be focused on something that is geared toward our collective liberation. You know, it's important that we eat right.
Exactly.
So we need, you know, people who are focused on nutrition. It's important that we're healthy, so we need people who are focused on medicine, you know, be it natural or, you know, whatever means, you know, you desire. Big bruh, you know, we need people who are scholars.
Exactly.
Statisticians, you know, things of that sort.
Exactly.
We need people who are focused on the military aspect of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we
need economic aspect.
Economic aspect, you know, we need, you know, people who are focused on everything. Thing, you know, like Malcolm said, you know, not on any one front, but on all fronts. And one thing that we have failed, brother, you know, and we say we as a collective,
yeah, we say
you
we.
Know, because we're all in this thing together, you know. You know, we live together, we die together. And as our brothers and sisters would say, we shall overcome together. As we like to say, we shall overthrow together.
Together. That's
yes,
right.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother, how would what would you say about, you know, our stance as a community as a whole on the issue of mental health, mental illness?
Well, brother, as I take a look today at everything that's going on about me, brother, in one way, shape, form, or fashion, I think all of us are mentally messed up to a certain degree. I believe that, you know, of course, there are brothers who and sisters who are mentally challenged by birth or by accident or by medication, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in today's society, man, with the war against black people, even in the food, you know, in the water, so to speak, brother, I think we really need to take a closer look at how we manage our brothers and sisters who are mentally challenged. I think we need to take a closer look on how we ourselves are somehow or some way, shape, form, or fashion, mentally challenged. I think we really need to really focus in and hone in on how we are to deal with our brothers and sisters like that, because I know it has to be a great burden to care for, you know, brothers and sisters who are mentally handicapped. But like I said, in today's increasing times with the everyday drugs of Paxil being given to a lot of brothers and sisters just so they can so-called go to sleep, but they don't understand how it plays tricks on the mind to make the mind believe that the body is asleep, you know what I'm saying? But the mind still be acting out, and the body goes forward too, but that's another day and another time and another topic. But when you start looking at these particular, you know, pharmaceutical drugs that are increasing the mentally handicapped and challenging, and if you look at the food and the water with the estrogen levels and toxicities in the water and food, then that also causes an increase in, you know, different things happening to us mentally and physically. So, brother, I think it takes it should make one take a mental time out and examine what's really going on out here, bro.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's something that we can no longer afford to ignore, you know, seriously, especially, you know, with the introduction of the police state. You know, a lot
exactly.
of our mentally ill brothers and sisters are falling victim to police terrorism, as we all are. But, you know, being mentally challenged, you know, there should be some level of protection, you know, be it legally or communal,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially on the communal level for our mentally challenged brothers and sisters. I'll tell you what we're going to do is we have a very special guest this evening by the name of Miss Mary Neal.
And, yes.
This sister works very diligently on behalf of brothers and sisters who are mentally challenged, so we're going to be blessed with her presence on this evening. And I tell you what we're going to do, big bro. We're going to get in the spirit of the show. You know, Brother Marcus Garvey always spoke of the importance of having our own media outlet. And these are some of the things that we need to be talking about. So we have to have our own in order to discuss these things, because the mainstream media is going to do their job. The white supremacist media, they're going to ignore this on purpose. And we should not expect for them to do our job for us. So just in the spirit of the ancestors, we're going to get into a quick cut very quickly by our own Sister Queen. So we'll be right back with you, y'all. Stick around. We'll be right back with Sister Mary Neal. Check this out, y'all.
Red, black, You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving us together. We'll bring Africa to America. We'll sow forgiveness and reap the gold that was once stolen. We'll build black and buy black and border black and be black. We'll get green and grow green and gobble green and gain green. We'll rinse red and rhyme red and reflect red and finish red. If you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and I will be free and fight for them, cause they need a leader and it be we. And you be the sun and I'll be the moon, and you are one and I am two, and we'll drop your jewels on these ignorant fools and teach them knowledge and wisdom to understand the freedom is justice, to have equality and eat food with clothes on in a sheltered home and lend love, portray peace and harbor happiness. And yo, yo, you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and we'll roll my bodies with Ethiopian tea and plan a revolution. Every day of the week we'll meditate on Monday, taught technique on Tuesday, rights war on Wednesday, tally troops on Thursday, follow through on Friday, strategize on Saturday, see plan on Sunday. And yo, and yo, I love you more than Rita Love Roberts, Lauren Love Wyclef, Betty Love Malcolm X. You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving. To unify our union, I'll lace your wrist with leather, you'll dress my neck in pearls. I'll bet to baby boys and then to baby girls, we'll christen them with myrrh. If yo, 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 you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestor love, and I love you more than I love you more than I love you more than yo, yo, you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestor love, and I love you more than I love you more.
Garveyism, that's just the queen right there. You be the red, I be the black, you be the green. Yes, indeed, red, black, and green. And as we always tell our young people, you know, you can put down those red flags and those blue flags, you know, rep something you are. You're going to carry around the flag, carry around the red, black, and green, and put in some work for liberation. That's good, right. What the cats used to say back in the day, we all in the same gang. We ought to be, you know, we ought to be. And for those of you all just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper by way of MasterGrio.com. And we'll be discussing mental illness in the black community. And for those of you all out there in radio/internet land, if you want to call in, you can call in at 646-716-7994. Again, that's 646-716-7994. Big Bro, I have something I want to read very quickly before we get Sister Mary Neal on the line with us. This is a story pretty much most of us are familiar with. She's only 25 years old, but the dark bags under Nafisa's eyes tell the story of a young life blighted with psychosis, delusions, hallucinations, and mania that are the hallmarks of her mental disorder. In DeKalb County Jail, receiving the psychiatric treatment she desperately needed, Nafisa lays there now. But on April 7th, she was spiraling out of control on the MARTA train traveling through Atlanta's east side. The scenes captured on another passenger's cell phone of Nafisa, a.k.a. Soldier Girl, terrorizing an elderly passenger, caused a sensation on the internet and embarrassed MARTA officials, who quickly issued a warrant for her arrest. People with bipolar disorder aren't usually that violent or aggressive, even in their manic phase. They are usually more of a danger to themselves than they are to others. Nafisa's boyfriend, Dee, with whom she has the baby son, said it more eloquently when he called into the Ryan Cameron show on Friday. If she wasn't bipolar, she would be the good person on earth, said Dee. That girl has a good heart. The city didn't help her, man. They just kicked her back on the street. The city doesn't help black mentally ill people like that. Once you get that stage, you can't help yourself. It messes with your mind. Once your mind is gone, it's a wrap. And most of us did see this young lady on the internet by way of YouTube. And, you know, she, I didn't really see where she physically threatened the elder, but she was, you know.
She was talking kind of rough.
Yeah, you know, she was speaking roughly, you know. And even the elderly lady was like she never really felt, you know, physically threatened. But even in this young lady's actions, you know, you could really tell she was suffering from something.
Yeah, she had to be crazed out of her mind.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you could tell the young lady was dealing with something, not, you know, not being a doctor or anything, a medical doctor, you know, really couldn't, you know, quite put our finger on it, but, you know, we knew something wasn't, you know, sitting well with her situation. But, you know, the elder being the, you know, the beautiful elders that we have, you know, she spoke up in her behalf, you know. This young lady, you know, I never felt threatened. And, you know, basically it's not her fault. Because, you know, like the brother said, you know, we don't get the help.
No, we don't, bro.
We don't get the help at all. And, you know, from what I understand, they did issue a warrant for her arrest and arrested her. They say she's receiving help now. But, you know, history, when told properly, does not lie. And history tells us that when they, you know, when the enemy begins to treat us, it's not for the benefit of us. So we're just, you know, really hoping that this sister gets the help that she deserves and that she needs. What we're going to do now is going to bring Sister Mary Neal on the line. She's a very diligent worker on behalf of the mentally ill. Sister Mary, are you with us?
I am. How are you?
Doing fine. Your lady, this is Sister Mary. Sister Mary, this is my
How you doing, sister? How you doing?
I'm doing
good
well. Thank
you.
It's very nice for you to invite me to be on your show tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for clearing your schedule and helping us out.
Our mentally ill citizens of all races are having quite a hard time in America. As a matter of fact, right now, tonight, as we speak, 1.25 million mentally ill people are in jail. They're in prison. Many of these people were imprisoned without any understanding of what they were going to jail for. You saw the young lady on the video. And you know that many of these people have limited understanding of what they're going to jail for. Many of them, even if they know what they did that was offensive, they didn't have the wherewithal to control themselves. Unfortunately, there is much stigmatism associated with this illness. Unlike if you tell someone you have diabetes, they say, oh, poor dear. Or if you say to someone, I have a headache, they say, oh, would you like an aspirin? But if someone is mentally ill, suddenly they're ostracized. If family members say, I have a mentally ill mother or brother or cousin, suddenly people look at them funny. Wow, are you mentally ill yourself then? So there's a lot of stigmatism, and unfortunately, the stigmatism is even more pronounced among African Americans than it is for other races. Other races, particularly Caucasians, are very apt to speak quite openly about going to see their therapist or going to see their psychiatrist. But black people still have a lot of stigmatism to overcome. And when I see, you know, at first I thought it was rather unnecessary for the people to feel that way and to hang back and not get treatment if they need it. But when I saw the comments, did you see the comments about that young lady who had her bipolar crisis on the train? Did you read the comments?
Yes, ma'am. I mean,
people were very, very unforgiving of her for being sick. Many of them, I even read where some of them said she was a disgrace to the black race. And so with that type of attitude, I can better understand why black people who are sick or who have mentally ill people hesitate to get treatment or to come forward with the problem, because it's not all in their mind that they will be treated differently. They really are treated differently, and not a good difference, a very negative difference in how they're treated and how their family members are treated once people know that they have someone with this problem.
Yeah, very much so. And I can attest for that. Growing up, you know, in the hood, so to say, you know, as we affectionately call that, you know, there was a young man. He wasn't mentally ill, but just had a physical ailment.
Okay.
And the young brother called hell.
Yes.
Because children have the habit of being cruelly, you know, honest.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like you said, you know, we're made to feel bad. You know, it's almost like we're that rape victim who blames ourselves for the rape and the molestation.
Exactly.
If we're suffering from some type of mental illness. And that's what we do, you know, and we're taught, you know, even as something as simple as marriage counseling. You know,
yes.
You know, for,
we
you
tend
know,
not to take advantage of any type of counseling or anything that would even touch on the idea that we are not handling things, because strength has been traditionally so important to black people, and it is important that we're strong. And so, therefore, to show any weakness, especially weakness in reasoning, is considered terrible. And as you know, we founded an organization, Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Upon the death of my brother, I had a mentally ill brother. He was paranoid schizophrenic. This started when he was 9 years old. He was 9 years old. He had a case of mumps. And when my mother left him with the babysitter and went to work, she came home that day, and he wasn't in the house. He had run out in the cold January weather. He woke up in a fever fit, and that's something that children sometimes have when they have very high temperatures. And he had been outdoors for hours. And when she called him in, finally got him in, his jaws, which used to swell, kids don't get mumps anymore, but your jaws swell with that. The swelling was down, but the infection evidently went to his brain. And from that point, he was never the same. Now, I don't know whether that really is the cause of his problems, because as you might know, mental illness is something that is still very much debated. It's very much still on the they're learning about it. They don't really know. I've been studying lately, and it's been determined that schizophrenia, which is the type of mental illness he had, and it is the worst kind, that it can be caused by the mother, when she's expecting, being exposed to cat litter, or an infant being exposed to the germ in cat litter. So these things sometimes have a very physical reason, but yet and still, it manifests itself mentally, and these people simply may not be able to carry on and act in life like you and I. Now, across America, they are steadily closing mental hospitals. Even though it is cheaper, it is much cheaper to treat these patients in a hospital environment, and if they are so bad off that they need containment, and these are the ones I'm talking about. If someone out there just has a nervous problem, or they have even bipolarism or schizophrenia, and they're able to take their medication, they're able to make their psychiatric appointments, and they're able to maintain themselves in life without going to prison, then I congratulate you and urge you to continue, you know, on that. But there are a number of people who are beyond reason to the point that they will not, like on the train, they will not take their medication. They will not because they don't want to acknowledge that they're sick. And this is particularly among African Americans who are sick. The stigmatism.
I've heard of, I think we've all heard of cases, you know, to where, you know, like you said, some people refuse to take their medicine. But I've heard a lot, and I think Ayele can attest to it too, and you probably can too, Ms. Neal. A lot of people don't like taking their medication due to the side effects. What are some of the possibilities?
My brother would claim that he felt woozy, he felt tired, he felt all these things. But you see, without his medicine, he might stay awake 4 or 5 days at a time until he was convinced that everyone around him was out to get him. And he wouldn't eat anything because it may have been poisoned by his mother or family. And he would, you know, so in other words, even though there are side effects to the medication really does work in a lot of cases to be able to keep these people out of a lockdown. Now, you see, they have changed the laws to the point that it is no longer available to the families to simply put them in a hospital or to simply enforce their treatment. And like I said, that doesn't affect anybody as much as it does black people, because our sick people are generally very prone to not want to be medicated or not want to seek treatment because of the stigma. So these people end up doing things, and I'm sure you've seen them, sitting on the sidewalk, talking loud, preaching loud, singing loud. They disturb the peace. They go into stores, they eat, and they don't pay. They do things that are illegal because their man told them to do these things. Occasionally, they kill people. The young man who killed the 32 students at Virginia Tech was a mental patient who, at the age of 18, his mother and father could no longer enforce his treatment. And the state, our government, will not enforce treatment until they already see a smoking gun or a dripping knife. So since you have no help until they kill somebody or kill themselves, it really puts families in a bad situation.
Okay, now you said something very interesting there, you know, about the family. We're going to take a quick musical break very shortly, and when we come back, for those of you all just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and our topic of discussion tonight is mental illness in the black community. Certainly, you know, do not want to leave any brother or sister behind enemy lines, you know, so.
Well, when you leave them behind, what happens to them is that they're arrested. Many of them are shot while the police are trying to arrest them. Many of them are tasered to death. Many of them, after arrest, end up dying like LaVert did in that restraint chair. And, you know, you got to understand as black people that whenever there is an attack on any people, the attack always starts with the weakest in the society. And actually, this isn't just a black issue, because there are more white mental ill people locked up in jail than there are black people locked up in jail.
Yeah,
and the thing is,
to catch the you know, kind of the short end of the stick, as you know, as we say. But when we come back from this musical commercial, or this musical interlude, as we'll call it, we're gonna speak a little bit on the responsibility of the family, and see what kind of, you know, what kind of solutions, if any, you know, that we can collectively think about. Is that all right with y'all?
Sounds great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll be right back with you. This here is a new cut off of The Reeducation of the Negro by Brothers Keeper. So you all check this out, and we'll be right back with you.
All right.
Right for the man. It's liberation time. We're gonna
Freedom, freedom, your hoo-roo.
That's right.
Yes. Freedom, freedom.
Yes, indeed. That was a brand new cut by yours truly. That's off of our new CD, The Reeducation of the Negro. And all proceeds benefit our community programs, Feeding the Homeless Every Other Sunday, Prison Prevention Program, Theater Programs, things of that sort. So if you all feeling in your heart and in your spirit, log on to cdbaby.com/brotherskeep and the number 2 and purchase that and help us help us. We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and we're discussing tonight mental illness in the black community. Yele, I want to ask you something. Sister Mayor, I want to get your comment after Brother Yele.
All right.
Yes.
What, okay, now let's say we have a situation to where we know when we have a family member who's, you know, suffering from some type of mental illness. We may can't put our finger on it, but we know that, you know, something, you know, is not, you know, something is, you know, mentally wrong with this family member. What would you think would be the role, you know, of the immediate family in order to protect, you know, this person from the evils of the world? You know, be it the you know, be it law enforcement, as Sister Mary spoke of before we went to break, or, you know, community predators. What do you think you know, the role of the family should be?
Well, generally speaking, sometimes it gets a little rough in dealing with our family members who may have, you know, may be mentally challenged, and sometimes it gets to a point that it's too dangerous to deal with our brothers and sisters. But I think that in a lot of times, when we rush our brothers and sisters off into these hospitals that are not set up to deal with us, by us, for us, if you understand what I'm saying,
right,
sometimes they become guinea pigs.
Yes.
And are given, are overly medicated sometimes, or under medicated for purposes of studying and stuff like that. So I think, as brothers and sisters who are well aware of what is going on in society, I think we as brothers and sisters who understand should be trying to come up with some type of system where we can do things in-house, so to speak. Case in point, if I know that this is something that is prevalent in my community, then I would think that with all the money that comes through the church, that the church would be more beneficial in having community places within the community where brothers and sisters who are suffering from mental illness can go without having to be shipped off to places like, you know, not to say that they don't do anything correct, but places like Lakeside.
Yeah,
right. Well, I know that a lot of brothers and sisters are overly medicated, you know, in facilities like that, or used as test subjects, you know, when it comes down to the medical establishment. I just would hope and wish and pray that we as, you know, as black people will start to get our own facilities to care for our own.
Yeah.
That way we can care for them in a loving and wholesome manner that does not lead the individual themselves to be pawns in the game of white supremacy, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I would hope that that would be something that we can do, because I know that it is a taxing burden place on the family when you have a mentally ill person, and sometimes more so than not, that it's left to the elderly to take care of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like I said, brother, just something I want to throw out there, you know, as some kind of solution to this problem. And also, when you spoke on the side effects and stuff like that, and the sister says, you know, yeah, that, you know, sometimes the side effects is just the minute problem when you look at the bigger picture. I was wondering if there was anyone that may be looking at mental illness from a holistic approach, from a natural medicine approach.
There are people who are, you know, who try to deal with the problem holistically, and that probably works for some people. However, this 1.25 million people that we already have in prison tonight, many of them naked because they take away their clothes so that they can't commit suicide. Many of them in isolation. Even people who kill people are not in isolation. But these people are a lot of times kept in solitary confinement because they can't trust them around the other prisoners. And so you have brothers and sisters of all races tonight sitting in prison naked with nothing but a metal rack to lie down on because they won't give them a mattress for fear that they'll shred it and hurt themselves. The difference is that years ago, before they decided to close down our mental institutions in such great numbers, these same individuals, because I went there every Sunday of my life when I was growing up to visit my brother. These people were dressed well. They were, if they got, you know, to the point that they were having an episode like the young lady you may have seen on the train video, they had straitjackets that they put them in so they couldn't hurt themselves. They would give them sedatives by way of needle so that they could relax themselves. They had rubber rooms so that if they wanted to bounce around, they couldn't hurt themselves. These are things that you don't have at your house. These are things that used to be available to people in the hospital. Now they've switched. They let them out of the hospital, saying they were being kind and benevolent, and it wasn't the right place for them, and they have them now instead in prison. So these people are suffering. They're naked. They're treated badly. They are put in restraint chairs like Levert died in. If they have a psychotic episode, it's said that they put them in restraint chairs to calm them. They even call it a calming chair. But the actuality is it's punishment because if they move around too much in there, they die. The Jenny Cochran firm also had a case in Florida that they successfully got money for a family whose family member had died in a restraint chair there in Florida. It happens all the time. And now you may be aware that they taser them to put them under arrest very often, and tasers kill them. But the thing is that now they're trying to hide the damage that tasers do. A judge has ruled that they can't put death by taser. The medical examiners have been prohibited in some states from saying death by taser. So that way the state can dodge responsibility for the deaths that occur from taser. Taser is big industry, and it's supposed to be non-lethal, but it's not in a lot of cases. In too many cases, the people die or they are severely impaired from that point on. I mean, they're electrocuted. So these are the sufferings that people are going through right now. Now, as far as having community care homes, which I think is what, you know, you were suggesting, they do have. There are community care homes. And the less violent sufferers very often are placed in community care homes. And community care homes, they, you know, see that they take their medication and their daily needs are seen to. Now, my brother lived in a community care home, okay? But see, the thing is that now the laws are written so that when people are in these community care homes, even the community care home is restricted from really doing what needs to be done in the worst cases. He was free. He could get up in the morning, leave early before they gave out the medicine. And he would. Hello?
Right.
They don't even have the control because the laws need to be changed. All of these things we're talking about won't really matter until the laws are changed to make it easier to enforce treatment. So that's what I advocate.
We understand the reasoning behind the not changing of the laws, just like we understand the reasoning behind the closing of the mental facilities, because while there are in the mental facilities or whatnot, they are wards of the state and have to be taken care of by state funds. But when they are incarcerated in prison, the state gets money from the government for them. So that is one of the main reasons why they are transferred from the mental institutions to the state prison, because they really don't care about the individuals to start with. They're just concerned about getting that $45,000 a year per inmate. And it doesn't make a difference what the inmate is or
whether
they're challenged by, or it doesn't make any difference about that. They just want to make sure they
just,
get it.
You're right. It's just making money for the people who own private prisons and for the shareholders of privatized prisons. And this whole society is getting, you know, really, really bad on individual rights. And Hitler started with the mentally ill. In 1939, Hitler initiated a decree saying that doctors should euthanize the mentally ill. The Nazi regime used the term euthanism. Its aim was to exterminate the mentally ill and the handicapped and cleanse the Aryan race. So you see, it's not just about black. It's about anybody who's handicapped. It's about your elderly. Once they get everybody to accept the idea of euthanizing or imprisoning or not valuing the life of disabled people, hey, it starts with one. But then it trickles on down, and it will get to you, because eventually, this whole system seems to be intent to follow the road of Hitler, and they're starting where Hitler started with the mentally ill.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Well, you know, Hitler, Hitler learned everything he learned from America.
He got from the United States.
As a matter of fact, you know, America has done things to its own citizens as well as citizens abroad that will make Hitler blush. You know, so America is its own terrorist within itself. What I want to ask now is, we started the program out speaking about bipolar disorder, and you also touched on schizophrenia. What I would like to do is sprinkle the brothers and sisters out there in radio/internet land about some of the things that we go through that we wouldn't normally consider to be a mental illness, like say depression or.
It's in that family. It's in the family of mental illness. Some people are clinically depressed, and they're so depressed that, they think of suicide. And what a lot of people don't seem to realize is that, they say, well, I have nobody mentally ill in my family. Now, Uncle John, he's been on the bottle for 15 years. And Aunt Sue, she's on the corner selling her body for drugs. Well, you see, the thing is that a lot of times in our people's trying to avoid getting psychiatric treatment for their mental illness, they self-medicate with alcohol. They self-medicate with drugs. All they know is they're not thinking right. They can't. Have you ever heard them say, I just can't get my head together? And they say, I got to get my head on straight. Those terms come from people trying to restore themselves to normality, because they realize that they're depressed, they're upset, they're angry. A lot of this wife beating and things that do go on, and you say, well, my neighbor's so mean. He's not so mean. That man is probably nuts. He probably has all kinds of issues if he would go get diagnosed. And he beats his wife. All of this anger and aggression, a lot of it is because these people are sick. And they're not, they don't feel comfortable going to get help. And as I said, until some attitudes change, I certainly can sympathize with that. Because people don't want to acknowledge that they're sick. And so that leaves these people out there being shut up. You saw where they, I send you emails now and then. I send all the online listeners that I am in communication with emails where they shoot the mentally ill. I think they shot up a guy right there in West Memphis about a month ago, right?
Tased him to death, matter of fact.
Okay. And didn't he run in the store saying that the police were after him to kill him?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And they did kill him, didn't they?
Last week, yes.
So you see, they think that you don't care about that man. They know that if it was maybe a healthy 19-year-old high school star on the football team, everybody would be out marching. But they figure that nobody in the black community care about that mentally ill black man running from the police for his life. Saying, please, they intend to kill me. He followed him in the store and did kill him.
Yeah.
And what have you heard about it?
Haven't heard anything.
You see, that man didn't matter. So naturally they will pick those people first. My brother was mentally ill. He was there in Memphis. They knew he was mentally ill. And 2 weeks after a county employee told my oldest brother that they were sick of fooling with Larry Neal, 2 weeks later we couldn't find him. Couldn't find him anywhere. The social worker looking for him. We're looking for him. And the police there in Memphis, Shelby County Jail, said they didn't have him. Over and over they told that lie because they knew he had a heart condition. And after 18 days of having him secretly arrested, so to make sure they didn't have to fool with him ever again, they never have to, he was not valid. So they wouldn't have to say, move on. They wouldn't have to say, don't do that. They wouldn't have to arrest him and the social worker go get him right away the next day. They wanted to perhaps teach him a lesson, or maybe they meant to kill him. I don't know their intention. God knows, and he will deal with them. But in any case, they kept him and lied to us, said they didn't have him until they were ready to return his body. And to this day, 4.5 years later, they will not answer a single question. They will not send us any records. They refuse to do an investigation. They refuse to do an inquest. They refuse to question anyone. They didn't even report it as they were supposed to. You know, Memphis Jail got a bad reputation. And
yes,
it was, yes, and it was already under overview by the United States Justice Department when this happened. And
yes,
they were bound by their agreement with the USA to send fatality reports on anyone who died in Shelby County Jail. Do you know that U.S. Justice Department said, oh, they didn't tell us about him. They didn't tell us about Larry Neal. We don't have any reports on him. So, okay, so you don't have any reports on him. So now what you going to do about it? Do you know what? No letter, no response to that.
Nothing.
It's like nothing. Was he an American citizen? Yes, he was. Are we American citizens? We're asking about this man who you held and euthanized. Yes, you are. How do I know I'm an American citizen? Well, we get taxes off of you. We sent his brother to Vietnam. We get taxes off his brother. We get taxes off his sisters. We get taxes off his mother. We get taxes from y'all. So, yeah, y'all down for U.S. citizens. You know, if we have a war, we'll be ready to draft any of you. But when it comes down to answering questions about this man, they can't answer them. And the Jenny Cochran firm, thank goodness what they did, they put themselves forward as our legal representatives. And you need to be careful about them because they are no longer headed by Jenny Cochran. He's been dead 3 years. 3 years he's been dead. And his lawyer, one of his lawyers, is suing them right now for racial and sexual discrimination. I sent you the radio interview she did where she says that firm is taken over by the people who were his partners. And these are some people who came forward to him, according to her interview. They came forward to him because he had a big name and they had the big money. And they said, let us use your big important name, and we have all of this money, and we will open these firms all across the country. And when we do, you will be out front. You will be up front, and you can run it. And she said that as long as he was healthy and alive, he could kind of control things. But then when he got sick, she didn't say they waited till he died. She said when he got sick, they started doing their own thing, which was victimizing black people. Well, I'll put it like this. They victimized their clients, and we know that their clients were mostly black people.
Yeah,
and when we sued them for what they did to us, which was to take our case about Larry and do zero about it, didn't file suit, admitted that they had done nothing, were not doing anything, had us thinking they were doing things for 10.5 months. Do you know that when we sued them for their fraud here in Atlanta, the office that is advertised, it was advertised every 15 minutes. You couldn't watch anything on TV without their advertisement. Do you know that they got a judge to say that they didn't exist in Atlanta?
Right.
You see, so this thing is really something. You know, the mentally ill are victimized. And when they die in jail, you get yourself a lawyer and you try to find out what happened. They send a lawyer at you who is pretending to be working for you, but actually he's working for the system.
Oh, yeah, burning the candle at both ends. And, you know, like you said, the mentally ill in the prison system, there was a story down here, maybe last year, Big Bro, if you will recall, there was a mentally ill brother who I think he got locked up for something like trespassing or something. And they just locked the brother up, and he ended up spending like 5 or 6 years in jail, you know, on a trespassing charge. And, you know, they was like, well, why is
that happens a lot.
And they was like, well, he never said anything. I mean, he's mentally ill. What is he supposed to say?
Right.
Right. So for those of you all just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We're almost out of time for this show. Our very, very special guest this evening was Sister Mary Neal, and she's very
thank
quickly,
yes,
Miss Neal, tell them about yourself and your organization. We're almost out of time.
And all right.
Tell people how to get in touch with you and how to support you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. First of all, I've written a lot about the issue of mental illness, and you can find a lot of things that I've written on the Internet if you go to nowpublic.com. That's N-O-W, public, P-U-B-L-I-C.com, and just type in my name, Mary Neal, in their search field. And you will see that I've written a good deal about it and included articles and information from all over. Our organization is called Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. You know, mental illness is such a big subject that, you know, it was just important to narrow it down. And the people most at risk are the ones who are already in jail tonight. And these people are the ones who are most victimized by their illness because they are literally in jail. You know, that lady in Texas who killed her 5 children, drowned them one by one, they finally moved her out of prison and into a mental hospital. The lady was suffering from all types of mental illness when she did that. And this happens to people. The thing is that if we don't address this issue, we've soon got a lot of soldiers that a lot of people are trying to bring home as soon as possible. And these soldiers are fighting in battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan, and many of them have already tested positive for mental illness. Many of them will come back here shell-shocked, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And, you know, the thing is that these people are trained. You saw what happened with that girl when she felt threatened on the train by that senior citizen. These people might feel threatened by most anything. They're used to people even strapping bombs on little kids and sending at them.
Oh, yeah.
They closed down
true.
A mental
That's
hospital
true.
In New York.
We're out of time now.
We're out of time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But be sure to leave your contact. What's your website there? Your website,
it's HTTP, Wrongful Death of Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, Neal, N-E-A-L.com. And my contact information is there under the Contact Us tab. My documents to prove everything I'm saying about my brother is true are under the Documents tab. And I invite everybody to look and to support us as we try to help the least of these, his brethren.
Wonderful. Big brother, you have any last words for the listening crowd?
Black people, learn yourself, love yourself, and let's get free.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, brothers.
Oh, not a problem. We really thank you for
thank you, sister,
tuning in with us this evening and shedding some light on this topic. Of course, this is not a problem that we can fix in 1 hour. But hopefully, you know, someone heard something that will encourage them to, you know, at least take a stand and do something in your community. You know, if you're not dealing with the mentally ill, deal with the homeless. You're not dealing with the homeless, deal with the youth. You're not dealing with the youth, deal with the elderly. Just do something.
When you deal with the mental ill, you are dealing with the homeless. This is what created the homeless problem that we have.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And,
anybody with enough sense will take care of themselves.
Yes, right. That's right. And that's that is correct, you know. So we thank everyone for tuning in to Brothers Keeper, Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Our special guest, Ms. Mary Neal, and we want to leave you with freedom. We must get free. We must get free. Thank you all for tuning in. If you all don't have the CD yet, feel free to log on to cdbaby.com/brotherskeeper. And the number 2, help us, help us. So, black family, we love you all. Stay true to yourselves and love yourselves. Peace.
Peace. Well, thank you.
My mind is free. Free your zone. Check it out. You try to hide me from myself. You didn't want me to know my own will. Oh, you tried to make me feel inferior. But now the light shines, revealing your lies, and I see myself through brand new eyes.
worry about what we do. 'Cause controlling our minds